Welcome back to 720 WGN. Justin Kaufman with you. My next guests are two of the co-hosts of the video podcast, Bean Guillen, which can also be seen live on La Vida Baseball Chicago on Fridays. La Vida Baseball is a site dedicated to the Latino experience in baseball, on and off the field. The co-hosts are not only capable of carrying a conversation, but they are related, father and son. Ozzie Guillen and Ozzie Guillen Jr. both have experiences in sports media, but Ozzie, of course, has spent a majority of his career on the other side of the microphone. One of the best managers to have ever managed the South Side of Chicago, not to mention played a mean shortstop for a number of years. Ozzie Guillen and Ozzie Guillen Jr., my guests tonight on WGN Radio. Great to have you guys. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us.
There will be a podcast, a live podcast, Bean Guillen, at Simone's in Pilsen tomorrow night, Thursday the 20th, starting at 5 p.m. The third co-host is not here, your other son, only. What does it mean to be able to do this podcast with family?
Well, it's a treat. Different mentality of baseball, you know, not because we grew up together in baseball, that means we have the different, you know, same opinion. You know, Ozzy got a different opinion, Ozzy got a different opinion, and I can look the opinions of the game different way they look at it, and that's why it makes it so much fun. We're not holding barrels, you know what I mean? I think we say what we need to say three different ways.
Yeah, right.
And that's why I think it's making fun because, you know, we argument between each other.
Well, like, I think now they're just getting our life on the air. We talk baseball 24/7, a lot of WhatsApp messaging because the WhatsApp is like the international texting app. And since he's in Latin America a lot, we are always giving him updates. And we view the game differently, obviously, from a perspective of just how the game has changed. Not so much analytics, but again, when you've played the game that long and you've managed the game, he has a different perspective and view of it.
Right.
I'm a big fantasy baseball player. Don't consider myself an expert, but I look at things from a different perspective.
And you've covered. And, you've also
and I've covered.
Shows,
so it's funny because it's the first time my brother, Oni, is on the show as well, like with us in a show, because I worked for The Score for many years with Oni as one of my partners. And then I actually covered Ozzie with the White Sox for multiple seasons. So it's funny because I had to basically say, you know, Ozzie Guillen, not my dad, because that's weird to say on the air. But he gave me actually one of the best advice. He said, don't be scared to throw me under the bus or have your opinion. And that was, you know, now I'm 35 years old. I was like 24 and super immature, I guess, when it came to that. But now it makes a lot of sense because he gave me a lot of freedom to just not worry about, you know, running out there. I think that I was like one of the, you know, living with the guy that I wanted Adam Dunn not to play because I thought rest would help him. But then living with him, being able to say that on the air and be able to take, I think that now being on the air together, we still go back and forth and agree to disagree a lot.
Ozzie, what do you learn from your sons in this? Because if you could say, you could easily be a guy, you've won a world championship, you're you know, baseball runs through your blood. You could say, yeah, I can't learn anything more about the game. But what do you learn from your son?
Everything. You know why? Because like I say, you know what I mean? I'm not away from the game because I keep working on TV and doing baseball analysis and do all kind of stuff. But the way they look at the game and the game going on right now, I learn a lot from them. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you're right. Oh, you know how many things I say, how many times I say, oh my God, you're right. Oh my God, yes. And this game is so good because every day you learn something. Every day you got a subject to talk about, especially when the season starts. Mm-hmm. And it's not about, I told them, just make this thing fun. You're talking about this guy is a great hitter, who is the best hitter in baseball, who is the best defense. I think overall, like everything. And not because we're calling La Vida Baseball, just it had to be in Spanish. And I told him, just do something in Spanish because I think I had a lot of friends out there that want us to you know, say, you know, I mean, to talk in Spanish, have mm-hmm. a show in Spanish, but in the meanwhile, say we think in Spanish, but we had to say things in English, and then that's a fun part of the.
We have seen in baseball. I was kind of surprised that because I was getting ready for this, and I was like, okay, let's talk about Latinos in baseball, of course, on the field, but also in the dugout, the managers. Because you would think with Davey Martinez being a Brooklyn-born Puerto Rican descent, and then you have Alex Cora.
Alex, yes.
Then it's you, meaning who won a World Series. I was totally surprised. You would think just from the last 2 years that every year a Latino manages a team that wins a World Series. It was just been the last 2 years, and then it goes back to you. Are Latinos thriving in the dugout? Are Latinos getting their appropriate shot to run teams in Major League Baseball?
Well, I think they look up better now. They see more Latino coaches, more Latinos in managing in the minor leagues. It's more opportunity. Now we have to take advantage. It's just because what the guy did in the past, it might open for you later on. But be honest with you, I don't see it that way. I seen you give the job to the guy who deserves the job, not because you are Latino, Asian, and African-American. You should have the job because you're a minority. Mm-hmm. I think when you go to hire somebody in that particular job, it's very, very hard job to hire somebody, not because your last name is Gonzalez, you should be interviewed. You know what I mean? Right. I think you have to interview and give the opportunity to the guy you think.
Do you agree with that? Do you agree with that, Ozzie Jr.? That
he might not. He never.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, the question is: are Latinos getting their fair share when it comes to being in the dugout managing teams?
I think that's my concern with Latinos is not so much the dugout managing. When you look at the numbers of teams, what are we going to say? We want 15%, 50% of the league to be Latino. I think that opportunity. I think that my issue is with providing them with the same amount of opportunity. And this is what I mean. AJ Hinch gets hired again. So should Alex Cora. You hire an old manager like George Girardi, Ozzie Guillen deserves to manage again. If, a manager like Eric Wedge, who's interviewed pretty much with everybody in Major League Baseball and managed like seven teams now, why hasn't Tony Pena had that same chance? I feel that the line for a mistake, if you're a minority, is a lot shorter than if you were not a minority. And I think that's unfair when we can go and grab someone like Aaron Boone, who's an amazing baseball guy, but bring him from no experience whatsoever and make him a manager.
David Ross, right?
David Ross, right. You know, would they do that for a Latino guy? And it's funny because here in Chicago, they're like, oh, that's like when they hired Ozzie Guillen. I'm like, no.
No,
Ozzie Guillen coached
third base coach,
and he had coached for the Montreal Expos.
Right,
so
right.
There was 6 years of preparation.
Right.
Dave Martinez was with Joe He's Maddon right for like
Chicago,
12 years.
Yeah, right.
So those, I think that's what I'm looking for, more of the fairness of, hey, this guy paid his dues. Why isn't he getting a shot? That's what I think, what I'm concerned with.
I want to take a quick break, and then we'll come back. Ozzie Guillen and Ozzie Guillen Jr. here talking about their podcast, Being Guillen, which can be heard on La Vida Baseball Chicago. It's a video podcast. You can see it on Fridays, but also you can find it on the website. We'll talk more with them just right after the break here on 720 WGN. Stay with us. Welcome back to 720 WGN. My guests, Ozzie Guillen and Ozzie Guillen Jr., they are two of the three hosts of Being Guillen, Oney Guillen the third. You can find this video podcast at Being Guillen. You can find it at La Vida Baseball Chicago. We're talking about Latinos in baseball because that's really what La Vida Baseball Chicago is all about. We had some of the guys in here talking about La Vida Baseball before. It's about exploring and celebrating Latino culture in baseball, not just about the players, but about how people watch the game in different... You just said, Ozzie, that you're going around Latin America. The way different countries consume baseball is a story in itself.
Well, it was a busy winter for me. You know, Osney, or youngest one, managing in Colombia.
Right.
And it was amazing for me how people in Colombia, when you talk about Colombia, you talk about soccer. It's no doubt about it. You're going to talk about soccer, so the guy ride a bike for 17 hours in a row and winning. And it's about biking and soccer. All of a sudden, I look at it, and I see this ballpark packed. Every day, we're not talking about 40,000, you're talking about 7,000-8,000 people every night. And the most of the guy, you see 700-800 people in the ballpark. Sound like if you had 10,000 people at the ballpark because they get into it, those games, and they fight. I'm not talking about free fight, they're talking about they're screaming to each other.
Excited,
they talk about that all day. Same way in Venezuela, same way in Puerto Rico this year, Mexico. Dominican Republic, I think, won the best baseball in Winter League. But when you look at the way the flavor, with the way we feel about it, and believe me, they asked me about Osney just win the Colombian League,
yeah.
And they asked me about it, how you feel. I said, well, it's a father. I feel more proud, and I enjoy this more than when I was winning in Chicago. Because here's a job. Here's a party. It's a proud thing. I win the championship last year. You know what I mean? That's a different way we look at it.
It's like national pride.
It's a national, right. It's more, I managed, I managed in Winter League last 3 years.
I think a lot more pressure.
A lot of pressure, you know what I mean?
For a lot less pay.
I managed in Winter League last 3 years, and to me, it was harder to manage a Winter League than managing big league. People think I'm crazy. Oh, my God, really? Yes. Because my experience was opposite. My experience, you know, most of the managers go to manage in the big league, they already went through a minor league in Winter League. My experience from being a champion to Winter League, I said, oh, my God, I invite Dusty Baker, Joe Madden, my associate. I say, you think you guys can manage him? Come down for a month. Here, you got to ride the bus for 14 hours. And you got one roster one day, and the next day you had this. You got different roster completely.
Why do you do it?
I love the game. Well, my friend is on the team. I want to manage the team. I always say before I retire, we'll pay back. Because my life in the game was so easy, or easier, or was lucky. Because I went from playing the minor league, go to the big league, coaching the big league, managing the big league. I never paid the price or played the dues.
Do your dues. You've always been very... You're like a savant when it comes to baseball. It comes, you know, very second nature to you.
Yeah, but it's like, oh, my God. I just got a surgery, and I ride the ball for 14 hours. You know what I mean? Like really?
No, people in Venezuela
got, they don't care who you are.
Either. I was going to say, there are no private jets.
No.
Oh, no, we have more private jets.
Yes, we do.
You know, yes, we do. That's the most we have.
Yeah. That's a different category.
Different people got those private jets.
Not the baseball manager.
But no. I just think that you also felt great to be back on the field. He got to manage Austin, which was pretty cool. We got to be part of like family around the game again. And, you know, the game of baseball, you know, like La Vida baseball, is there's a certain style of play that I love analytics, by the way, with this next comment, but we're going so much to the we don't care about emotions and we're becoming very robotic. Kind of personalities are out of the game, that this gives it a flavor of these players are still human beings. You know, these guys still have, you know, Joe Madden was probably one of the most interesting guys because Joe was Joe. Mm-hmm. You know, he was just like this quirky, out of this world.
That's why people fell in love with the team. Even if they're not from Chicago.
Exactly. You got Ozzie Guillen that had his style, and Dusty. And everyone was a great manager, but everyone had their own style. I feel now like managers are more like middle management. Like, everyone just wants the monotone. And I feel like La Vida brings that back to a sport that needs a lot of marketing, that there's players are just more than numbers. And that we want people to get to know these players that, you know, that, yes, there is Mike Trout, but there's so much more than Mike Trout. You know, Javi Baez, we're lucky in Chicago, probably one of the top five players in Chicago, playing-wise, national-wise, and that you can market him. You know, people want to be him, Moncada. So I think that just giving these players another platform for them to be able to express themselves, to us, that was so important because, again, people fall in love with players. They don't care where they're from.
I was going to ask about analytics when it comes to players. Because we hear about it all the time when it comes to managers and how you put a team on the field. But when you have somebody who may come from Dominican Republic or Cuba or Venezuela, who is used to that La Vida style, is used to playing with passion and putting their personality first, are they susceptible to the whims of analytics that maybe they don't see what makes them shine because they have a bad, you know?
I don't think it's true.
How does that work?
Be honest with you, I'm not the players. Coming from where we come from, I don't think they care about that because they have one thing in mind: hit 300, win 20 games, or make a lot of money. They're not going to say how and how they get there. You just make sure they get there and stay there just to make the money and survive and be who they want to be. Make sure it's dream come true. So many things different than because you cannot speak to Puerto Rican player the way you speak to the Dominicans or Venezuelans or the Panamanians or all the Asians. You know, you cannot speak the same language as the guy who grew up in the South, grew up in California. That's the thing. I think if you look at the players, when you add honesty, they say, I want to have a good year. Well, first of all, the players say, we want to win the World Series. That's the first thing they ask before they sign even the contract. But how are they going to win it? They really don't care. They make sure they score one more run than the opposition and make sure they pitch well. But they know when, like, okay, that's the way we're going to do it.
How do you manage, Ozzie? And you had a United Nations on the 2005 White Sox.
Yes.
Everybody represented. How do you manage when it's not the same language, when it's people didn't come from the same countries, same backgrounds? As a manager, and you want to bring them all together, what language do you speak? Not specifically, but what do you do to bring them together?
Leadership. And one language that I'm going to talk is WIN, win games. I don't care how you're going to do it, how you did it in your country, how you got to here. You got to throw everything out and worry about what we're going to do this year. One day I got upset and very, when I was, I went into the players very well. But the players always stick up for me because they know when I say something, I mean it. Because they know I'm 100% behind them. It's one thing about it, I just want to win. And the only way I got to win is just play well for me. I was cursing them out. Very upset, throwing stuff in the clubhouse, and they listened to me. And also, I turned around and Tadahiro Higuchi, interpreter, was next to me. I went after. I said, "You told him what I'm telling people right here and everything." Ryan is a kid thing?
Ryan was a little petrified.
Ryan, go.
They don't have those words in Japanese.
Ryan, go. Ozzy, I don't think they have that kind of language in Japan. And I left. I left the room laughing, and it was over with because everybody was laughing because I was very upset about it. But as soon as he said that, I said, I cannot say this in Japanese because I don't know how.
Are we at a point now where managers have to speak Spanish?
I don't think they have to because there's interpreters, which is something that Ozzy was pushing for a long time. I was the first one in for the White Sox. Now it's something that is normal and it's across. It's just a better way of communicating because if you have to pull a coach, you're taking him from doing something else. So why not have Ozzy Jr., who's not a coach, interpret and do a good job at it and have some coach work with a player in coaching? The part that analytics, going back to that point that you made and Latino players and that, and I'm going to say even American players, no one ever plays the game for stats. Ever since you're in Little League, especially in Latin America, you're playing to win. And it's all about getting that run. You know, how do I get that one more run to beat the other team? And that's the United States, that's high school, that's Venezuela, that's Colombia, that's everywhere. And in a game in the United States, we've gone, the most important stat at the end of the day is the W and the L. Because that's what gets you, your team to win or lose. And we've gone away from that of, my guys can do this, this, and this. Are they getting you wins? And I feel like for the players who are Latino, I think if you talk to them and say, hey, maybe if you do this, if it helps them, they'll say yes, absolutely.
Yeah, right.
But if you're going to tell them you have to change your game because they're going to say, well, how does this?
They can't.
How does this make me a winner? Again, the other thing is that this is like a myth that I have. I work. Part of what I do is work with numbers. Corporate America, have an MBA. Everyone in baseball is full of it with all these managers that are saying, "I'm an analytical guy."
Right.
No, you're not.
No, you're not.
You can't code. You can't write algorithm. You might know how to read the spreadsheet, and that's something that I think to me is funny because all these guys that have been in baseball for 30 years are all of a sudden analytical because they took one class one day. I'm like, no, the kid that's upstairs that's writing the algorithm, he's analytical.
One, right?
I'm saying you understand it and you can have a conversation.
You may listen to the
– that can help.
It's funny because if you grew up in the game of baseball, they changed the language, okay? And now it's backed up by data. So it's like if I'm in the business world and I say, hey, this station is going to make money because it's just smart. It's like a news station and there's nobody covering news. But now I can say, hey, if I have an MBA, the profit margins are great.
Right.
And I dropped some real stats. That's the same thing in baseball. Ozzy would tell you, hey, Ozzy Jr., the guy's got a great curveball. It snaps. The bat's jumping off the ball.
12-6, yeah.
12-6. Now they say, oh, it's got a good spin rate. It's
same
got a
thing.
Great launch.
Right.
So it's the same thing. But this whole thing of like, this guy's analytical. I'm like, really? Because he's got glasses on and he's got an iPad. So it's all marketing and buzzwords.
Right.
And it's funny how he gets considered. People think that you never use numbers. I'm like, do you think this guy managed this long in the big leagues without using numbers?
Let me do this. Let me take a quick break. Ozzy Guillen Jr. Ozzy Guillen here as well. Two of the co-hosts, Oney Guillen the third and Bean Guillen, which is a video podcast found on La Vida Baseball Chicago. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back, continue the conversation here on 720 WGN. Stay with us. Welcome back to 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio with me, Ozzy Guillen and Ozzy Guillen Jr. talking about their podcast, Bean Guillen and La Vida Baseball Chicago. That's where you can find the podcast. The podcast will be live at Simone's in Pilsen tomorrow night, Thursday the 20th, starting at 5 p.m. Is this time of year for you, Ozzy? Do you miss it? Do you miss coaching when spring training starts and baseball's on everybody's mind?
You know what? It was through last year.
Yeah.
It was. It was her. Thank God. I was my first year. We now been spring training for so long. It directly hit me. And I went to Mexico. Well, we be around players and try to take this away from me. But, you know, besides last year, I had my granddaughter born. And sometimes like, man, I get up in the morning and say, man, I wish I'd be in the field. But sometimes I say, I'm fine. I will take care of my granddaughter. Is I miss it? Yes, yes. Obviously, I'm the baseball man. I want to be on the field. I want to be the leader in the team. But meanwhile, like you miss something, but I don't die or miss sleep because that.
When the cheating scandals broke and managers started losing their jobs, we saw this with Alex in Boston and Carlos Beltran in New York and, of course, A.J. Hinch. I was surprised that your name was not thrown out more. I know you put out a tweet about it. It was kind of a joke. But I don't understand because you are somebody who has had a winning track record. You have been able to lead teams to the playoffs and to a world championship. Were you surprised that your name wasn't at the top of lists of the analysts that were saying who needs to come in here and fix the Astros, the Red Sox, the Mets?
Well, I think people was. I was kind of like disappointed. Like, my God, feel like I killed somebody or murder somebody. I don't know. I feel like we're very weird about it. Like what I did bad in the game or what I should do to get it better. But meanwhile, like I said earlier, you got to call the people. Now when you call somebody to interview in baseball, you're calling 10, 12, 14 different people when you know who's going to be the manager.
Right.
Okay. Now before you got 2, 3. Okay, I got to interview this guy and that guy and that guy and this. But now, it's so many people say, why you got to ask everyone? And everybody better come with the answer. I want to hear it.
Right.
Well, because there's no path. And I think that's the hard part because, so before, it was hard to get a shot. And you had to get 5, 6, 7 years as a coach. And then you coach and then they thought you were a good baseball guy. You might manage, then go back to coaching. And then you brought back a guy that had experience, hence Joe Torre, successful after managing for 20-something years. Now, even coaching doesn't even guarantee you that. Like, if I had to give somebody advice right now, I just told my little brother who won the Caribbean Series, doesn't have a job in minor league baseball, you better might as well go work for a hitting facility and come up with a hitting philosophy, and you might be a hitting director for a team because that's the quickest route than coaching.
Or and actually winning championships, international championships.
Exactly. Or be a consultant for a team. You know, like David, for example. Like, we all knew that he was going to be the guy. 25 years ago, they never would have thought about bringing someone from upstairs to being on the field. So for him, it was smarter to not be connected to the coaching staff for last year, which would have made a great bench coach. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know what, I'll consult. Same thing as Craig Counsell. So being on the field now is not as important. They can grab you from TV. They can grab you from and even not even just managers, general managers. You know, they're looking for agents. And that's hard because it's like if you worked in a corporate America company and you're a CEO who's had success in a Fortune 500 company, and then there's a junior executive interviewing for the CEO position.
Right.
And you're like, that's what I'm competing against. So that's why right now in the industry it's kind of hard, kind of drawing that line. And I think it's a real hard time because you don't know who the candidate is. It could be anybody.
Ozzy, do you want to come back? Do you want to be a manager?
Yeah. Somebody, yes, of course.
Someone calls you?
You know why? Because I'm not better in the game. I'm having a great life right now. I do. I'm having fun. I do a live radio. I'm going to do pre-game and post-game with the White Sox. And I have my grandkid.
I think Adela would love to see you managing this.
Okay, you know what? It's one reason. But I didn't know to see the Ozzy, the one who was. And people say, man, you were so wild. And so I said, no, that was the generation. I was competing against Joe Madden, Lou Piniella, Dusty Baker, Mike Socia. That was our era. Now you put me in compete. And now when the media come to you, they come hard. And they ask you a question like, what? Okay, this is the answer. Mm-hmm. It's not like, oh, my God, this guy said this. No. Nowadays, I call Chicago media the weakest media they have.
Really?
Very weak media.
They got soft.
Every day, I know for a fact, because I work in the media side, and I had to talk about the interview after the game, and I write notes about, and I call them up. I say, guys, you guys weak. I call them, I got a lot of friends in the media. I say, my God, you changed. Oh, my God. Because maybe they don't care.
Right.
Or they have to be careful what they say.
Right.
Oh, because I say something about Ozzy, next day Ozzy not gonna come jump to me like, "Hey, you talk about me."
Well, there's concern. You're seeing this more and more. A concern about access to the team. If you say the wrong things, that the team can take away your access.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff.
So the media is in a tough spot where they can't be as critical as they once were.
Well, to me, I'm working. My job is criticize people now. And to me, when I go to, you know, obviously before I will criticize you, people are like, "Oh my God, now I got a different way to criticize you." And why? Explain to you very calm, and people can see me why I say, because I can talk to anybody.
But if you talk to your players, this is a part where people need to understand this, okay? Players are human beings. If Ozzy went up to the media and said, "I need my guys to play better or else they're going to get in trouble," like he does on the pre and post game, they would laugh and be like, "Why is this guy being so fake? Like, what is he doing up there?" And I think that when you're a manager, the way that he reacted was for his players to react, which they did.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's funny because everyone calls like Ozzy, like, "Oh, he's so wild and crazy." I think that there's a lot of like snippets and funny things that he said. And again, like some controversial things, mm-hmm. some things that the message was right. They just didn't like the messenger. But he didn't get kicked. You didn't get kicked out as much as people think that you did.
No.
You just made the guy. I think that you made the times you got kicked out so much fun worth it that if you got this mystique.
Okay. Ozzy, we talk about interpreters in the big league. I got in trouble big time. We Major League Baseball, I call him up, I say, "Why we don't have Latino interpreter? Why we not Asians interpreter?" And right away, they call me like, "Hey, you a racist or those comments don't write for baseball?" I say, "Wait a minute, what did you say? What's the difference between," I said it, "between right. Tarahiro Iguchi and Vladimir Guerrero? They don't speak English. No matter where you come from, they don't." Then why we don't have that? Oh my God, I got in trouble so bad. Now they have... Every player have interpreter now.
Yeah.
Billy Russo makes the most money out of White Sox because he's his interpreter. And the best job to have right now, White Sox have right now, it had to be Billy Russo. Because he got like 20 Latinos out there. Sometimes say, "Stop, the guys don't say it." You know, he tried to make it up the right way.
He's being used, right.
But I got in trouble for that, big time.
Well, you get a lot of times, too, and you said this, you said that, you know, today's media in Chicago is weak. Was it weak when it was covering you?
No.
Back in the day, they were hard on you.
Maybe because it was my fault. But they covered. They was covering Dusty Baker, Don Baylor. They was covering Lou Piniella. You know what I mean? After that, it was a little down because, what's his name? Bohegan Cloudy? He was the third base coach. He go and then Joe. But in meanwhile, I go, you got to answer the question. One guy go to me, go, "Why this guy?" You say, "Why? Because I'm the manager." "No, because you want me to." And I was scared about the media. Now you go to ask me, I will respond to you. Same stuff I want to say different way.
Right.
I'm older.
You've learned.
I'm
that,
older.
That
I know the
your English
the media,
is better.
You know me. Well, I never went out and say something. I say, "No, they don't understand what I say. I don't mean it that way." I know. I step up like a man. And maybe that's why I got in trouble.
I think you had a chip on your shoulder.
Besides that, what I told Osney, you know, his management, I said, "Don't be honest."
Don't be honest. No.
Don't be honest, because honesty, first day you ask for your mouth, you better be honest. Well, unfortunately, here in the United States, in baseball, I'm not going to say United States, in baseball way or life, you can be honest because you will hurt somebody. Going to get hurt when you're honest.
Yeah,
somebody around somewhere, you're going to get hurt about it. And that's why I told my kids, they say, "Hey, buddy, you want to have a job in baseball? Just sir, and move on."
Yeah,
that's the wrong way.
It's strange because we love people to be honest, right?
Yeah.
We are straight shooters.
That's what we think.
Managers, politicians, whatever it might be, they're straight shooters. They're honest with us. They're transparent. But you're absolutely right. Honesty, that's the one thing you can't get.
Well, you can be honest when you get to the top.
Yeah, but I've done about it. I remember Kenny Williams saying to me, "Hey," I asked a lot of people. I asked you. You went to school. I never went. I said, "Hey, man, what I should do this? What I should say about this? What they mean this word?" I say, when you go to Twitter about it, I say, "Hey, don't say that because they know it's not me tweeting. It's you. That's the word not coming out of Ozzie Guillen's hands." Because they know I'm not that smart.
Right.
But Kenny told me, he said, "Hey, honesty is the best thing. You got to tell your players, you just be honest with, and they like it, they don't move on." Then I was honest with all my players. I was honest with anyone. I'm honest with anybody. They give me anywhere, yes. They give me what I am, who I am, what I did, what I'm doing. But meanwhile, in the game, you can be honest. Especially nowadays, like the tweeting and the Instagrams, and you know me. A couple of days ago, Manfred said something. I know for a fact, you know, meaning that way, that the piece of what's in it?
The piece of metal.
The
but
piece
he apologized.
Of metal. No, no, but I know for a fact. People know, you know, want to say it that way. He was thinking that way. He went out that way. And he got crucified.
Mm-hmm.
Crucified.
Well, let me ask you, because it's a great transition, honestly. Ozzie Guillen Jr. here, two of the co-hosts for Being Guillen, which can be found on La Vida Baseball Chicago podcast. That's a weekly podcast. It's live on Fridays, and you can find the video podcast on the site. Honesty is there's a big right now. Baseball has got a problem. The cheating scandal is getting bigger and bigger, mostly because the clubhouses have opened up and the players are getting pretty nasty. Every night you see a player from a different team that says something either against the Houston Astros, against the commissioner, against baseball. They're more critical than you've ever seen players. LeBron
I think
James.
In the history of the game.
Play association, too.
Yeah, you saw LeBron James getting into it. But what do you think about this? Baseball guys, are you scared? Are you fearful that this is going to have a standing stain on the game?
Well, it's been 15 years since PEDs, and we're still talking about them. You know, I think that, and I'll go first, so because Ozzie's going to get deep in this.
Not really.
No, I think.
I don't want to be too honest.
I just think that no one in my generation, I think even before, I'm only going to talk for my time. No one ever thought players would react this way. But they were, because winning is so big to players. Again, the analytic number that no one talks about, which is the W, winning. That's what counts. Even amongst their numbers, those guys want to win. Playing the World Series, to them, it means a huge thing. That's why the comment for Manfred came so bad. But it was, we created this monster because back in the day, we would not give a job to a young manager because we thought he couldn't control the clubhouse. And this was a complete example of a guy that regardless of his X's and O's and his analytical and all that, he did not have management of his team. Because if you're the manager, you could be...
He chose not to.
Exactly.
He's like, I don't want to mess up with these players.
You could be my brother's age, or you could be 100 years old. And I'll give you an example. One of the greatest coaches in American history, Joe Paterno. Everyone talks about that one incident because of that one decision in his life. Because as the head of the team, he did not decide to do X, Y, and Z. Again, not the same. But when you're a manager, the responsibility that you have, not only of winning and losing, but that you have as a face of the team, was given to someone that was not ready to have that in his hands. Hmm. And I think that's the danger, because we started getting guys to thinking, oh, it's just about putting a player here, putting a player there. And everyone went away with, you still have to manage guys on the field.
Ozzie Blackjack McDowell came out and said, hey, the White Sox, La Russa was doing that.
Hey, stupid.
Stupid?
Well, I say stupid. Everybody have an opinion. Because I always told my kids and my people, say, white people don't respect my opinion. White people always against whatever I say. But face to face, I will explain to you why. Then you're like, wow, you know, you're right. But first of all, Jack wasn't there. That's the first thing. I was in Panama, I think. Ozzie Jr. called me. Oh, look at what Jack say. I start laughing because I say, no, wait a minute. Jack was here with Fregosi was here. And we went through a manager before Fregosi got the job. And I said, how he say that? But when you make those comments, and not that Jack is my boy, I love him and respect him a lot because he's an outspoken man since I know him. But you got to come to a fact. Some, do you know how many media call me after that? The media is supposed to be the one I can trust. And I curse him out, both, anyone. You know, I can say here what I said to them. I said, you know what? If you see it, then yes. And one thing come around my mouth, I said, wait a minute. You think I know what's coming? Being one of the best fastball hitters in the game then, I'm going to hit 220, 250?
No. I told him, I said, I hope it's not true because you guys did not win.
By the way.
That's embarrassing.
By the way, if we got... If they had that, my God, we finish last every year.
Yeah.
that's embarrassing.
That's embarrassing.
But I respect, you know, if Jack say that, hey, listen, I cannot say yes or no because you got it for a fact, but if I see it,
but it doesn't make it right. And that's the part that I think it's funny that people are saying, hey, you know, Bronco hit a home run that hurt around the world because there was a telescope in right field and knew it was coming. That does not make the fact that you were giving signs in real time using technology right.
Right.
And that you guys got busted. It's like when PD's like, well, people in the 1960s used greenies and, you know, so-and-so did this. Like, that wasn't like, just because you got caught doesn't make it, you have to go down the list and say, you know, it's like I always say with a DUI, like you get a DUI and you tell your wife, oh, but, you know, all these famous people got DUIs. Like,
that doesn't make it right.
That doesn't make it right that you did. So that's the part for me from a base. And it's really hard because we love, not only from being Hispanic, being Latino, for both Beltran and Alex Cora. Alex Cora is like an uncle
to us. I just talked to him a few minutes ago. I know about the problem because that's the last thing I want to do is everybody talk about with him, talk about that. The song I go to, he called me and go, hey, how about this? No, I don't even, I do care because Alex Cora was my boy when he won the World Series. Still my boy. I disagree with what they did, not what he did. I disagree with it. I'm against it 100%, millions of percent, but that's not going to change my friendship with Alex.
Right.
And that's the people, because human being, when people's down, they beat the crap out of you. Make sure you're still down.
They really
do,
don't they?
And you forgot what they did or what they do. Mm-hmm. And I say Alex or whatever, it wasn't that problem. They're right, because to me, this is worse than the PED, because when you do that, that's for your own good. But this take a lot of problem, because they, you know me, okay, you, I just talk about Ozzy, this having lunch, I go, okay, well, you know what? Joe Girardi. If Joe Girardi win 2 World Series, he got a chance to be a Hall of Fame. Now, just because that, he don't have a chance to win. If Joe Girardi win.
If he beats the Astros.
If he beats the Astros.
He stays. Stays as the coach or the manager of the Yankees.
Yeah,
right?
Because Yankee not going to be like, hey, we got to. He might say, no, you're leaving no matter what. Right. That's part of the game. Same way with Joe Maddon here. If Joe Maddon wins another World Series here, he not be in Anaheim right now.
No.
They will find a way to sign him back.
Right.
That's my problem. My problem is what you guys did.
It affected everybody.
What you guys did for a game. And I think I come with different ideas. But like I say, Zalta Gia say something. What? But another people say something. Hey, they listen to it. The only way this thing shut down right away is they do something to the Astro besides the $5 million in the draft. It's not. They got to continue to talk about it every day, day in and day out. Because people got different opinions. People have different feelings. You ask me about it. I say, you know what? Be honest with you. I'm a baseball man. I don't care. But my wife say, okay, if that happened in 2005 and you play against Houston, that happened to you, what you be saying right now?
Right.
That's the biggest problem.
Right? Yes. And Ozzie Guillen's here. Ozzie Guillen Jr., the podcast, the video podcast is called Being Guillen. I love talking to you guys, and thanks for coming in. My last question for you just is, you know, Ozzie, you are among a very small handful of champions in Chicago. And you have been a face for the Chicago White Sox for a long time. Do you feel that? Do you feel the love that you get from White Sox fans and the fact that you are on the Mount Rushmore of sports icons in this town?
That's the reason I move here. You know, I live in, people say, like, you live in Chicago? I say, yeah, are you crazy? I never said I was right, but my family grew up here. My granddaughter born in Chicago. I feel like I spend more time in Chicago than I spend in Venezuela. And this is my hometown. This is my real hometown, not a fake one. I stay here for good. I think what I did or what we did is a group. Sox fans always going to appreciate that. And I feel part of Chicago. I don't feel part of White Sox. I think I feel part of Chicago. Mm-hmm. A lot, dude, and everything, because I never deny anything with anyone. But in the meanwhile, yes, I feel great. I feel grateful to be part of that. But I think the best day I ever have since 2005, no, 2011, when I went to Chicago White Sox Park, throwing the first pitch ceremony with my granddaughter in my hands. That means our relation with the organization is a lot better now. It was a lot of people, a lot of opinions out there. They don't know really what's going on when I went to Miami and when I was Fidel Castro number one kid, favorite kid.
That's a whole other show.
Being back in Chicago with the organization I always love, they showed me, love me back. No defense, the organization. Because what I did for the organization, they should feel the same way I feel about them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Jerry gave me the opportunity to play and manage the team I love. Manager the city I love, grew up in this city, and sorry, Kenny, I always will appreciate that. People think me and Kenny would hate each other. Well, yes, we did. We hate each other for a couple hours because that's our job.
Right.
But in the meanwhile, I talked to them and back with the White Sox organization. I love it. I do have a great time. I think it was something that was bothering me for like a few years. Thanks to Ozzy Jr., went out and talked to a few people at White Sox, how I feel about them exactly. Were like, wait a minute. Then,
well, the reason that was happening is, going back to Chicago, is that Ozzy was going to be a Chicago guy even if the White Sox never came around. You know, for everyone's, I think the funniest thing is like, Ozzy, you're back. It's like, the guy lives here.
Yeah, I live here.
He's been living in Bucktown. You know, when he went to Miami, he was renting a house. He had just bought like a $3 million house in Bucktown. That's why he wanted to stay in Chicago. We're all from here. You know, Chicago's home to me. Chicago's might be a bigger home to me than Caracas. You know, I was born in Vegas. I never lived in Vegas, but Chicago's home. Home for me. I grew up in the city. The White Sox broke my heart in 1997 when they didn't sign Ozzy back. And I realized this is a business and it's part of the game. And then it happened again as a manager. And I realized the team is not associated to the city. And I can love Chicago because of the people that are in it. Even with all the badness of Chicago, I haven't been so proud about Chicago, even though they didn't have any Latinos. The NBA, the Common, was talking about all the greats that came from Chicago.
I think it was a bad day, too. It was cold.
It was cold. Oh, my God. Yeah. So I love Chicago. And I wanted Ozzy to be okay again with the White Sox because it's part of their history.
Absolutely.
And you want it. But it's all about Chicago. Like, our foundation is going to start focusing more on Chicago and more what we can bring. And I think that it's, out of all the cities in the United States, I think that we represent what the United States is. In immigration and, you know, all the different types of neighborhoods and, you know, from corporate America to, you know, Bucktown and being a hipster and tech and just like construction. So differentiation that we are Chicago, and that's from the south side to the north side to the surrounding suburbs. This is why we made this home. And Chicago, the White Sox were a part of it, but we always wanted to be in Chicago. Then he loves, you know, I think that, God, you got here when you were, what, 18 years old?
Well, it's funny because before we started the show, and I look around, and I just, first thing come out of my mouth, I say, my God, this is a beautiful place. I might be a lot of places around the world, but, you know, I mean, this is, to me, this is a city, you have everything.
Yeah.
The only bad thing about this city, can I say?
The traffic?
I hate the traffic. Oh, my God. I don't know what's wrong. I really don't understand what happened here. You know, it's traffic everywhere now on. But
we like construction. That's what we do. We like having construction on highways.
Right. Yeah, well, taxes. I got to say, with the lady, the new...
Lori? Taxes.
You don't Lori, like please, get the taxes down. We go. A lot of people moving out of the city.
That's right.
Just because that.
That's what I think it makes it a part of... You know what's funny, though? It's so funny when people think that they know you. We've never been involved in any election in Venezuela. Ever. I've never voted in Venezuela. I don't think you've ever voted in Venezuela.
I never will, because I said when I go to vote, I make a line to vote.
Yeah, he's not going to make a line to vote. But like in the last mayor election, we were very involved. You know, we've been involved of either supporting candidates or, hey, this would be great for the city because, wow, taxes, and we want this for education, and what suburb are we going to go? We're like literally involved in the city because we want it to be the best city because we care, because we live here. And this is going to be home. You know, every time you leave O'Hare or Midway, you always want to come back. And that's something that we made it our place. We gave Miami a shot. It was awesome. It was cool weather and it was cool, but it wasn't us. I think that we have that feel for, you know, we love the way that the city is. And that's why I think people think it's like Ozzy's always going to be associated to the city no matter what.
It's great to have the Guillens. Being Guillen is the name of the podcast, which you can find at La Vida Baseball Chicago. Ozzy Guillen Jr., Oney Guillen, and also Ozzy Guillen. Are the co-hosts, and Ozzy Jr. are in studio tonight. Can't thank you guys enough. Great conversation. I appreciate you coming in.
No, awesome. Of course.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us, and hopefully you guys get a little bit of snippet of baseball, that, you know, a little bit of reality, a little bit away from, like, the 5-3 this team won. You can get that on Ozzy's NBC and having fun pre- and post-game. We try to bring another aspect of it, and, you know, we're lucky that we have a World Series manager, just like NBC does with NBC Chicago Sports, that we have a World Series manager. You know, that's awesome, you know.
Well, besides that, I think it's different. I think it's more fun, and, you know, just go there and listen to me like, okay, he managed to got a home run. But it's a different way to watch the game and watch baseball, period. You got three different opinions. And not just because we're fighting. I know. You're wrong. Okay, you're wrong. That's the good thing about the show.
Right.
And it's when I leave the show, I told my wife, man, I like this show. I love this show. I enjoy it.
You gonna be ready tomorrow for the live show at Simone's?
Always ready. We're gonna talk about. You know what? They make fun of me because they say when you talk about baseball, you don't need production. You don't need anything. You just talk about it.
Talk about it. Yeah.
But I need to know exactly why we're going to talk about it, because no, I'm not going to be ready for the audience or the people. I got to be ready for them.
Right.
Because I say, no, wait a minute.
Yeah, you got to be ready for your co-host, yeah, your family. Yeah, it's at Simone's tomorrow. Simone's.
We're going to have the live show, La Vida live show completely. You can go on the website. On the Facebook group, La Vida Baseball, at La Vida Baseball. It's going to be fun. We're going to, hopefully this is the first of a couple. We enjoy fans chatting in, people asking us questions. We love it.
I love when people get on and go to Granada. You guys, I love that because that's part of what we want.
I think that's part of the game.
I don't want guys to say, oh, guys, you guys are so perfect. Oh, guys. That's why we're doing Spanish, too, because a lot of people ask me by Spanish that I can get into it. But in the meanwhile, I don't want the guys that you guys write. Oh, I agree with you guys 100%. No, that's a boring show.
Right, right.
When people always agree, okay, good, good.
We love having an opinion in our family, everyone from my mother to my dad. I think that's the only thing that we're all experts in, that we can talk and be backed up by something.
Yeah.
Because if we talk about golf, it's like, well, it's just our opinion. Like we have no expertise in golf or any other sport or politics. But baseball is the only thing that we're like, we all have something that we bring to the table. I think that's why it makes it better, because I think everybody tries to think that they're the smartest one.
Besides, the one thing I don't like when they talk about Rick Renteria, they ask me about something, but you go, whatever I say about Rick, I could be wrong. Because people can face it the wrong way, because say, oh, I don't like his movie make, or you just want to manage the White Sox.
Right.
That's the hardest thing for
that's
me
hard, yeah.
to do the pregame and postgame show, because
when he also has a prideful thing, which is an old school thing, you always want to respect the position. Like, I'll never talk about someone in that position as a manager. And I respect that. Sometimes he won't wear his rings to the stadium. And I'm like, you should wear all your rings.
You funny.
No,
I never did. You have to be very special occasion. And when Kobe Bryant passed away, rest in peace, him and all these people was involved, I was sitting there. That shocked me. Well, I said, well, I never know the guy. I don't know who he was. I just say, by the way, he say hi to me in Anaheim. Hey, Ozzy, how you doing, bro? I give him the, what's up? I keep walking. My son behind me go, Dad, that's Kobe. Oh, okay. So then I drop the big idiot. Say, I know Michael.
Yeah.
But when that happened, I was shocked. Like, I never cried in the last 2 months. Every time, especially in Spanish station, oh my God, the Spanish station played that every day like this guy was Mexican. You know what I mean? Every time they talk about it, I change the channel because I'm getting very sensitive. Thanks to my granddaughter Adela, I'm very sensitive now. But I told my wife, you know what? I gotta wear my rings every day now on. Why? I said, you never know what's gonna happen in your life. And since that day, I'm sure it teach me something the wrong way, because we look at it like, oh, my God, now you're waiting for somebody pass away just to realize what's going on, what life is. And that shocked me, and that's embarrassing me, to don't love the way life and people around me and appreciate what I did. To that happen, take 56 years to figure out you got to wait for somebody to this happen to wake up. And that's how it was the project, because I don't like to wear, I don't know. It's people say, like, why you wear the ring? I say, kind of embarrassing to tell people who I am. Hey, you don't know who me? I'm not that type.
Interesting.
And I know that type of the guy, you know, I remember in 2005, we walk into spring training. I say, well, you know, 2000, first spring training, you see 2005 world champions. Like, you didn't even think I care about it? I went by like, huh, a big deal. But nowadays, like, oh, wait a minute. This really, we make it happen. I was part of that. That's, you feel more, especially now with all this problem with Houston, you're like, oh, my God, no way.
Yeah.
No, we did that. You know, I was part of that. And that realize you change.
Yeah.
That realize who you are right now, not who you was in the past. But nobody care who you was in the past. Who's good you going to be from now on and for the rest of your life. And you know, I told people ask me, like, why you move to Chicago? I say, why I move to Chicago? I can park my car and not get a ticket. And the car pull me over to say, hi, we can take a picture. Or, hey, just send this for a kid. I can play golf with anybody. The people in Chicago, they're really United States. People don't realize how good people in Chicago is till they move or they go somewhere out. like, wow, these people is weird here. Oh, my God, these people weird there. They think it's different. Chicago is the middle, you know, big part of the middle of them, but he's just so friendly and so great guy, and they appreciate what you did, and they appreciate you still in town. I help a lot. My foundation help mm-hmm. a lot. People even realize that police and fire departments and schools, marathon, 4 o'clock in the morning, where like 2 degrees, I'm doing a marathon thing. You know what I mean? Just, but I love it. I enjoy it, and you know, that's. I hope my kids, and I'm proud my granddaughter born in Chicago. She's going to go to school in Chicago, and hopefully I'll be old enough to see her graduation. But Chicago is the biggest part in our life, in Guillen family, biggest. You know, you can go to Venezuela, you go to Caracas for a couple of days, get out of there, and my wife said, nothing like being in Chicago. Mm. I said, first time we stay in the winter here.
Yeah.
Ever. My wife and myself, first time ever.
Really?
Yeah, first time ever. And every time my wife said, my God, it's so cold. Well, we're choosing to be here.
Ozzie Guillen Jr., thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.